From the KTOO newsroom, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña with a local and statewide news update. Juneau's police department followed the lead of other communities in Alaska and made its policies and procedures manual available to the public on Monday. As protests and community conversations about policing started in May, Lieutenant Craig Campbell says people started asking for the department's full manual, but it took a little while for them to decide to make it public.
You know, when you don't have something like this posted online, people are asking for it. I think sometimes your natural reaction can be to be guarded if we haven't posted it before. And then we ask, well, why don't we? You know, what is the harm of posting some of these things?
Campbell says in the end, they decided that being open with the community could help build trust. It's not the full manual. Some of it has been redacted. Campbell says they combed through it for a few weeks, pulling out sections that they're either required by state law to keep private or that they can make it or that could make it dangerous for officers to do their jobs.
Our procedures are kind of like, you know, hey, how do you do this? How do you respond to a bank alarm? How should officers respond to active shooters? You know, those very specific things.
Campbell says the concern is that if people wanted to commit crimes, there are very specific information in that manual that could put officers at a tactical disadvantage.
You know, they could get that information, go home. When I activate an alarm, you know, this is how the police are generally going to respond, so I could, you know, ambush them and do these things, so it's not safe to put it out there.
The full manual is available on the Juneau Police Department's website. Despite Muktavik residents reporting numerous health improvements since moving from Nuktuk, the village also presents some significant health risks. Muktavik has no commercial airport, and medevac planes have trouble landing on the small temporary runway. KYUK's Greg Kim reports there have already been deaths in the new village that some say could have been prevented.
To some Muktavik residents, fresh produce is as valuable as gold. That's because there are no commercial flights to bring in groceries, and charters can cost thousands of dollars. The lack of air service means villagers are living more off the land, and some say healthier. But it also increases the risk for those who need medical help. Not having a commercial airport means that medevac planes can seldom land on the village's small runway. Relocation coordinator Romy Cadiente says that's already had disastrous consequences.
We had one gentleman that lost his life because he couldn't receive medical treatment in time.
When there's a medical emergency in Muktavik, more often than not, that person has to travel 9.5 miles across the Ninglik River to Nuktuk, where a medevac plane can land. On one winter day, Cadiente says the snow machine ride across was too much for a resident.
Halfway through the journey, he was already beginning to show signs of fading, and unfortunately, when they finally got here, they tried to revive him, but it was too late.
Grant Aviation flies medevac planes for the YK Delta, including Nuktuk and Muktavik. Vice President of Operations Dan Kinesik says Grant's medevac pilots can and have landed in Muktavik at least once, but he says the runway is dangerous.
It's very narrow. It's short.
Muktavik's temporary runway is a repurposed road, 35 feet wide and just 2,000 feet long. Kinesik says it's half the width and less than two-thirds the length of an average runway in the YK Delta.
And it's not a level runway. At the end of that short runway is a hill. The risk level of operations in Muktavik is significantly higher than all other airports in the YK Delta.
That's why Grant only flies medevacs there during the day in optimal visibility and wind conditions, a rarity along the YK Delta's coast, especially during the winter months. Now, some community leaders, like Nuktuk Village Council President George Carl, are questioning why the state didn't build an airport there earlier.
If I can tell the government, if you're going to be building a village, a new village like Muktavik, number one airport, Because of number one, the health, there might be accidents, you know.
Nuktuk Village Corporation Chairman Jimmy Charles says the State Department of Transportation, or DOT, turned down earlier requests for an airport.
I don't think they had any money available at the time when we asked them.
The DOT denied that a lack of funding was a reason why the Muktavik Airport wasn't built earlier. but the department also said it would only fund one airport between Nutok and Moktovik, although both villages currently have over 100 residents. Here's Aaron Hughes, project manager for the Moktovik Airport.
The state has been clear that we only maintain the one airport at Moktovik, and that airport in the existing Nutok site will no longer be operated by DOT.
Nutok was the first Alaskan village to begin relocating due to climate change-fueled erosion, but it likely won't be the last. Asked if next time the state would consider building an airport before residents move to the new site, DOT did not provide a clear answer. Spokesperson Shannon McCarthy said it would, quote, be speculative to make a determination about how and when to build a future airport. A day after NVC President George Carlson, airport should have been built earlier. Another Moktovik resident had to be medevaced. This time, it was him. And like others before him, the council president had a 9.5-mile boat ride to Nutok before the flight to a hospital.
The plane is on the way. On the way, it's going to be land.
His daughter Charlene Carl says this isn't the first time she's watched a family member make an emergency trip across the river.
We're waiting over here. We're praying that they make it on time. And I don't like living that way.
The airport in Moktovik is still a few years away from being built. DOT is currently in the process of acquiring the right-of-way from the Nutok Village Corporation to build it. The state plans to put the project out to bid this fall and finish construction by the end of 2022. Reporting for KYUK in Moktovik, I'm Greg Kim.
The Nutok Village Council invited KYUK to Moktovik. Before traveling, KYUK reporters consulted with medical professionals and received negative COVID-19 test results. While in the village, reporters wore masks when invited into people's homes. Back here in Juneau, the start of the school year for students is about 4 weeks away, and families still have a lot of questions about how kids will be educated during the pandemic. Classes in Anchorage and Fairbanks will be fully online when school starts, but Juneau is still planning on a mix of in-person instruction and distance learning. Superintendent Bridget Weiss shared more details about the Juneau School District's evolving plan and took questions in an online public forum Monday night. The hybrid model she outlined last month remains a major focus of the reopening plan. The mix of in-person time and home learning will depend on how much community transmission of COVID-19 is occurring. Weiss said the district is prepared to expand Homebridge to meet demand. That's the district-supported traditional homeschool option. And Weiss also outlined a new middle option developed in response to feedback over the last month. For parents who are uncomfortable physically sending their kids back, but don't want to lose their connection to their neighborhood school, there will be a distance learning option through neighborhood schools.
This would be more of a teacher-dependent option. The school is owning more of the instruction component. We still need support from the parent. We need to make sure that if there is going to be a Zoom class, that students are showing up for that, et cetera. But it is truly a distance delivery model coming right from the neighborhood school.
Many of the questions during the forum were focused on logistics and protocols of restarting face-to-face instruction. Many people asked how the district would decide to shift from one tier of instruction and health risk to another.
We're an educational organization. We're not a health organization. And what we're being asked to do really in those risk status levels is determine a health risk status. That's not what we do as educators.
So she said she's relying on health authorities and the city to develop the metrics and guidelines. She said the guidance so far encourages using rolling averages of COVID-19 case counts instead of daily counts to avoid constantly shifting instruction styles. And she said community factors like hospital capacity must be considered too.
I don't have absolutes because there really aren't absolutes. All that I can do is guide our community through this process and prepare us the best way possible.
Weiss said the metrics and protocols are still in development, but she hopes to be able to share them soon. A rocket will be sent into space from Alaska next week, with more set to be launched later after a delay in the launch schedule because of the coronavirus pandemic. The Juno Empire reported the Pacific Spaceport Complex in Kodiak has scheduled a commercial rocket launch for between August 2nd and August 7th, depending on weather conditions. This is KTOO News.